Hello. This is February the 26th, 2024. And this podcast is based on the U.S. presidential election, which is scheduled for November of this year. What seems to be concerning to myself is the lack of mainstream media coverage to a slew of independent candidates. And the mainstream media seems to primarily favor the two primary choices, being Donald Trump and Joe Biden. One being 81 years old, which is Joe Biden, who, from my personal perspective, appears to be suffering serious cognitive decline, and in all likelihood is in the mists of dementia. And then you have Donald Trump, who is 77 years old. Donald Trump seems to not have the same cognitive issues that Biden has. However, it was a little bit disturbing when at a recent rally, he referred to Nikki Haley as the one that was in control of the Capitol Police and the National Guard during the January 6th insurrection, clearly confusing Nikki Haley with that of Nancy Pelosi. I found that incredibly bizarre that he would say that at a rally with thousands of people in attendance and very little coverage from the mainstream media was, they didn't really even acknowledge it except for a couple brief sound bites. When they used that clip to compare him to that of Joe Biden, who I think is significantly in worse shape. There is one independent candidate that does seem to be gathering some steam, but whether it's going to be enough to actually even take a state is that of RFK Jr., who has been vilified by both the mainstream media and even some of the non-mainstream media of that of being an anti-vaxxer and a conspiracy theorist. And I have had the opportunity to do a little bit of independent research on RFK Jr., and although he has said a few things that may be stretching that of reality when it pertains to the vaccines, nothing that he's really said is too far-fetched when it comes to what transpired during COVID-19. And I'm speaking as someone who has had, I believe now, 5 COVID injections. So I'm far from an anti-vaxxer myself. I've got serious health issues myself, so I thought it prudent that I'm fully vaccinated, not only against COVID, but a multitude of other things. RFK Jr. Suffers from a condition which is related to that of dystonia, and unfortunately it's in his throat. So he does struggle with public speaking as a result of that. It does make him sound like he's nervous, and but that's attributed to this condition. But when you put that aside and you actually listen to him, he is very, very socially conscious when it comes to his political views. He's very pro-union, pro-worker, understands that it's the only way for the workers to really take on the elites, the CEOs, and the big corporations, is for the workers to organize unions. That is a fundamental right in the United States. And it's interesting when you listen to parties like the Republican Party that seem to be the ones that are complaining about the elites and the people at the top, and at the same time they bash unions. It seems to be hypocritical. And they believe the only way to somehow help the middle class is to actually lower taxes of these same corporations and elites. The whole thing doesn't really make sense. And then you look over at the Democrats that haven't really done a hell of a lot more in terms of strengthening the National Labor Relations Act, which is the act, which is controlled by the National Labor Relations Board, that governs unions and union elections. Not to mention when there was a strike of the rail and all they were asking for was, God forbid, personal time off and vacation time. The Biden administration, along with Pete Buttigieg, went and ordered them back to work and imposed a very weak collective agreement on these workers. I think that's tragic and disgraceful. The only thing that Biden seems to have done for the working class is a walk for about 5 minutes for a photo op with some United Auto Workers on a picket line. And then you have Trump, who has been viciously anti-union in his statements, as well as promoting very backwards laws that are enshrined in some of the United States called the right to work, which is really open shop language, where after workers go through the trials and tribulations to unionize, those same workers then have the right to opt out of paying dues while the union that they've chosen to organize with is still on the hook for representing them up to and including arbitration. A very expensive process, and it really is disgraceful. At the end of the day, most states and most places around the world subscribe to the 50% plus one model, which is similar to that in most democratic elections for political office, the same as when you're trying to acquire union representational rights. 50% plus one means you're all in. Or if you fail to meet that 50%, then nobody's in. No different than when you vote for a president of a country, the one that acquires the most votes, everyone, he becomes or she becomes everybody's president. You can't opt in and opt out. So it falls in the face of democratic principles. But getting back to RFK, he is actively on the campaign trail. He seems to be gaining a lot of momentum, but primarily with younger voters who don't pay a lot of attention to mainstream media and get a lot of their news from independent sources. And that's where RFK Jr. seems to be dominating. But it doesn't appear that he's going to be able to get the support in any of the states in order to pull off some sort of upset or create a dent in the system. I do believe that RFK Jr.'s only hope would be to take a state or two and prevent either Joe Biden or Trump to hit the magic 200, and I believe it's 270 electoral college votes, and thus leaving it up to the Congress to vote for a new president. And then it would be the Senate that would decide on the vice president. So I believe that that is his goal and intention. So he would have to run really a full-fledged campaign in one of the states in order to thwart Trump or Joe Biden to hit that magic number. So it does appear to be a long shot at best. But you never do know, I guess, in politics, if RFK Jr. is able to rev things up. I do believe that RFK Jr. would have a chance at pulling off an upset in one of the states if he had the opportunity to actually debate in a presidential election. They allowed it with Ross Perot going way back into the 90s when George W. Bush and Bill Clinton squared off. Ross Perot was an independent candidate and did quite well. Not enough to pull off a state, but definitely hindered, in that particular case, George W. Bush, or sorry, it would have been George Bush Sr., and his ability to win that particular election. Thus, Bill Clinton ended up becoming the next president. So George Bush Sr. ended up a one-term president. So politics is going to heat up. I do believe that the United States appears to be in a very, very fractured state, nothing like I've ever seen before, where you really do have a GOP which is very divided with some far-right tendencies, almost to the degree of fascist tendencies from my personal perspective. And then you have the Democratic Party, which is really, it's not a left-wing party as what's being portrayed by media outlets like Fox. It truly is. The Democratic Party has become the old Republican Party, and now you have a Republican Party that's really become quite a far-right party with an extreme-right element that is entrenched in there. And it does appear that the far, far-right, which is the MAGA element, is the one that's pulling the strings. So with that being said, I do anticipate that there's going to be extreme tensions going into this election. We don't have COVID like what we had in 2020, so it's going to be far more difficult to make these aspersions of election fraud based on mail ballots and different state rules that have always been around, and a lot of misinformation with voting machines. Of course, the voting machines are double-checked, triple-checked, and there's even hand counts that happen when certain margins are are not met according to the different state regulations. It's going to be a tense time, regardless of who wins, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's going to be a type of New Age civil war. I'm not sure how that would actually look at the end of the day. I mean, with nowadays, with technology and everything, it's not like you can really just take a building and then assume that you're in control of the government. The military would have to be at play for something like that to actually occur, like it has done in countries around the world. A simple civil uprising just wouldn't cut it. They wouldn't have the ability to cut off those electronic communications and the ability to shut down government that way. Really, that's the only way that you'd be able to shut them down nowadays. So with that being said, we'll see what transpires over the next little while. We still have Trump and Nikki Haley going at it in the primary stage. All indications are Trump is going to win Super Tuesday and become the Republican nominee. And what's going to be interesting is if there's going to be a debate, one, a debate between Trump and Biden, which is going to be interesting because, especially given Joe Biden's cognitive decline, and also if RFK Jr. will even be allowed to participate in such a debate. So it truly is a bit of a rigged game derived at maintaining the two-party system. And it really is a shame and very undemocratic at the end of the day. So that's it for today, and I hope you enjoyed my personal perspectives on this podcast, and we will see what happens during the course of 2024. Thank you for listening, and stay safe.